Happy Sabbath, God's people. Well, welcome to the divine service for today. We have several people who will be officiating. Joel Danso will be anchoring our music and will be giving us a special music also. And myself, Onye Oluoha, I'll be the platform chair for today. Our dear pastor, Pastor Etienne, will be the one breaking the bread of life. We want to thank everyone who has, in one way or the other, contributed to making today's service a good one. Those who are working behind the scene to ensure that those at home also get to see what we're doing and participate in the worship. And every other person, the Lord sees your sacrifice, and the Lord himself would reward. Without wasting any more time, I would call on us to rise, and we'll take our call to worship, and then we'll also take the opening prayer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Let us pray. Most gracious Father, most times we fail to understand that you should lead us. Most times we run ahead of you and we make so many mistakes. Have mercy on us. Help us. Help us to have our eyes fixed on you at all times. Help us to love you with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our might. Help us, Father in heaven, that after all the struggles here on earth, we'll be counted worthy to see you on that great day, to kiss your feet and to be with you forever and ever. For we pray to Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we're standing, we'll take our opening hymn from 520. He Hideth My Soul, SDH 520.
He hideth my soul in there. all sit down.
Amen. Our Bible reading, scripture reading, will be taken from the book of Luke, chapter 5, from verse 12 to 14. Luke, chapter 5, 12 to 14. And I read, "And it happened, when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded." May God bless this reading in Jesus' name. Amen. It's time for our prayer, so would ask that we sing our prayer song, and as much as possible go down our knees while the pastor leads us in prayer. Thank you.
Father, what a privilege it is for us to kneel before the throne of grace, knowing, dear God, that you want to hear from us, knowing, dear God, that you love spending time with your children. Lord, it is with grateful hearts we come before this throne of grace because you have provided, protected us through another week. And Father, we also come with grateful hearts for the Sabbath day you have set aside for us to come and rest and experience your comfort, experience your revival, Lord, that we may recharge so we can go out and conquer another week. Lord, I thank you that you allow me to appear before you on behalf of this congregation. But I ask, dear God, that you would, your spirit would search every single person's heart here today. Bless each one. And may you meet each one's needs according to your will. And I pray, Father, that all of us walk out of this sanctuary today a little bit encouraged, a little bit touched by you, that we may continue, dear God, to shine and point other people to you. Thank you so much for hearing this prayer. Bless us, continue to be with us, and may you continue to enjoy our worship because you deserve it. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Next, we'll be having our special song by our brother Joel, and thereafter, we'll hear the sermon of the day.
Shining splendor when he descends. Savior of the world is known. Amen.
Amen. Well, happy, happy Sabbath, church. And happy, happy day. Amen, amen. I heard some people on this side. This side was a little bit quiet. So let's try one more time. Happy, happy Sabbath, church. And happy, happy day. Amen, amen. It is a happy Sabbath. It's always a delightful Sabbath for me because I get to see your lovely face from up here. Amen. I believe that heaven is always rejoicing and smiling down on us because we have chosen to come to the Lord's house. Amen, church. I just want to welcome every single one of you. If you are here again for the first time, God bless you. Welcome. We are happy that you have chosen to bless us with your presence. For those who are watching online, wherever you may be, we pray for God's blessing to touch you today, that this Sabbath day will be a delightful. The Sabbath is a sign of victory. It is a sign of God's deliverance for us. And most of all, the Sabbath was set aside because there's a God that loves you. Amen? Amen. There's an individual that I missed today who's celebrating birthday. Samuel, happy birthday. God bless you. And I just want to wish everyone who celebrate their birthday in the month of March, that's including myself, happy birthday to us. Amen? We praise God for another year of life. Now, for our message for today is simply entitled, The Touch of God. Amen? The Touch of God. I believe that God wants to let somebody know today that his touch is still accessible to you, that he wants to transform your life and do something amazing for you that you cannot do for yourself. Amen? Now, before I pray, I just want to welcome my good friend, Jerry Shepherd. Thank you for blessing us with your presence, friend. So happy that you're here. But the touch of God, amen, church? Let's pray and dive into this message. I believe it's an important message. Loving Father, Lord, I ask one more time, dear God, you may hide me. You may hide me, dear God, that your people may walk away with Jesus and they will hear Jesus. And Father, that those who are seeking, those who are struggling suddenly in silence, Father, I pray that you will speak to them especially. Lord, that you will speak to their hearts, that you may comfort them, that you may transform them. Lord, here's your people. We are listening. Please speak to us. Speak to us now, dear God, and banish the enemy at this time. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. A touch. A touch is a very simple act, yet so powerful. I just recently read a story of an old man. And now this old man, his spouse had passed away. And in fact, he lived alone and he had no longer had any family member to care for him and look after him and love him. He had no close friends to go out for coffee or tea with. He did not belong to any church. In other words, this man was quite lonely. And because of his loneliness, he tells of a story that how he would go once a week to get a haircut just because he longed for someone to just touch him, to just care for him. Now, dear friends, all of us can agree that a touch feels good. Amen? A touch from a loved one feels amazing because I don't know about you, but I enjoy hugging my wife. It feels wonderful. A touch from your little kids, from your family member, it feels amazing. Scientists say that a newborn baby, if you deprive them of a touch and love and cuddles, they don't have much life because touch is so important. But in this life, as we know it, there are many things that will touch your heart and cause a great range of emotion to erupt in your life. For instance, like I said, spending meaningful time with your sweetheart,
spending meaningful time with your friends can cause warm feeling in your heart. Amen? But the death of a loved one can touch your heart, causing sadness and pain and sorrow. Receiving a phone call from an old friend that you haven't heard from in a long time can send joyful memories in your heart and mind. It can touch your heart in a most amazing way. Hearing stories of innocent children being sexually harassed by grown men or women can touch our heart, causing us to feel anger and revenge. My friends, I'm here to tell you today that there are many things that will touch your life. There are many things that feels good when they touch you, causing great emotions to appear. But I'm here to tell somebody there's nothing greater than the touch of Jesus. There is nothing more amazing than the touch of Jesus. Physical touch feels good. Emotional touch feels good, but there's nothing more wonderful than when God touches your life. When God touches your life, Pastor Ken, your life is transformed. When God touches your life there, Louise, your heart is filled with peace and joy. When God touches your heart, hope is erupted. When God touches your heart, chains are broken. When God touches your heart, where there was no way, doors is open. You're able to walk through and find solution to your problem, because when God touches your heart, something amazing happens. No wonder the great songwriter said it like this: shackled by the heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me. It made me whole. The touch of God not only sends different emotions, which are great, ultimately, the touch of God can transform your life for the better. But the real question is, have you experienced the touch of Jesus? I think most of us here today, most of us have experienced the emotional touch by Jesus. Week after week, you come to church and you hear a sermon from different preacher, some cute like me, and you take the message with great excitement. You go home and you sing about it and you remember, but after a few weeks, you forget that message. That's emotional touch. And so I'm not talking about an emotional touch. Emotional touch feels good, but that fades away. But what I'm asking us today, have you really allowed God to touch your heart? Have you allowed him to touch your heart at the core of your heart through all the layers? Because when you allow God to touch your heart, dear friends, it is then you are deeply seen. When you allow God to touch your heart, it is then that your life is truly transformed. And let me ask you, brothers and sisters, have you allowed God to truly touch your heart? Because when God touches your heart, you cannot stay the same. In order to help us today, we are going to meet a man that Jesus touched, and his life was completely transformed. And through this man, we are going to look at steps that you and me need to take in order to receive this touch that will transform our lives. And I believe that the Lord gave me this message today because there is somebody in our midst. And if it is not you, it's me, who Jesus is going to touch today, and their life will be transformed. You ready? We'll begin with step number one. Step number one, to receive the greatest touch of your lifetime, number one, you need to recognize your need for Jesus. Amen? You must recognize your need for Jesus. You must be aware of your spiritual condition. Acknowledge that you are broken, unclean, and that you need him. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, as my brother Onye here read for us, Luke chapter 5 from verse 12, the Bible says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now watch this. According to this text I just read to you, a man who's been touched by leprosy comes to Jesus. Mm-hmm. In this life, there's a lot of unwanted touches you may experience. You may be diagnosed with cancer. You may be diagnosed with depression. You may look in your bank account and realize, "Lord, how are we going to pay the rent next month?" You may look at the government and your papers for immigrants is not going through. Those are unwanted touches. With me, church. So this man had been touched by leprosy, which was one of the worst diseases you can be diagnosed with at this particular time. A man with leprosy went through different suffering. And Luke, being a great physician, says that this man was full of leprosy. I need you to understand the condition that this man is in. You can only imagine how uncomfortable that this man was. The disease started on the inside before it showed on the outside. Then you were fatigued. There were sore joints. Then little white spots would appear on the body. Then swellings will start to appear, changing from pink into brown, spreading all over the body. The face will swell up. The voice became more harsh. Your hair began to fall out. Little by little, the leprosy would overtake the body. You will lose feelings in your hands and feet. You will step in the fire and not feel anything. Can you picture it? Can you imagine the pain this man was in? Not only did he suffer physically, but he also suffered socially. He was not allowed to be touched. If you touched him, you became spiritually unclean. They were not allowed to go to a place of worship. Oftentimes, lepers became beggars. Everywhere they walked around, they had little bells crying out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," and people would move away from them. This man had lost his health, his family, his friends, his livelihood. In a world where lepers were to be untouched, while Jesus comes, while Jesus walks into a town, a man with leprosy, when he saw Jesus, the Bible says, he comes. You see, the enemy will have you believe that you have gone too far, that your situation is lost cause. But regardless of how deep your situation is, just keep going towards Jesus. Amen, church. Just come. Come with a mind and a heart that knows and admits the true condition, the state that you are in. Come. The leper comes to Jesus knowing very well that he's in bad shape. I imagine him crying out, "Unclean, unclean." I see people, I picture in my mind people backing away from him, parents hovering over their children lest this leper touches them. And he comes and he falls before Jesus, recognizing that he needs some adjustments in his life only Jesus could give. No matter the insults, no matter the gossip, he comes desperate and broken. So step number one, an awareness of your true condition, that you need Jesus. But awareness alone is not enough. Knowing that you need him is powerful, but it will not change you until you move. It will not help you until you start to move towards Jesus, which brings us to step number two. Step number two, come to Jesus as you are and ask. Come to Jesus as you are and ask him, "Jesus, make me clean." We don't need to complicate things, friends. We don't need to use fancy words. Just like the leper, if we want a touch from God, all you gotta do is pray a simple, honest prayer. No fancy words. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now hear this, church. Prayer may seem like a simple act, but it is the most powerful gift that God has ever gifted to humanity. Because when you pray, heaven moves. When you pray, chains breaks. Darkness trembles. When you pray, through prayer is how you and me fight unwanted touches from the enemy. Oh, dear friends, prayer unlocks the presence of God. Prayer unlocks deliverance. Prayer unlocks power. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, I'll be excited alone. Let me ask Peter to help me preach his sermon today. The Apostle Peter, in the book of Acts, the Bible tells me that when he was locked up in prison, bound in chain, guarded by soldiers, the Bible says when the church prayed for Peter, suddenly God showed up, the chains fell apart, doors were open, and Peter was able to walk up free. Do you recall the old man? I picture him to be an old man. I call him Uncle Jonah. When he was in the belly of the fish, nowhere to escape, no way out. But when he prayed, God spoke and the fish let him out and he was able to go out and accomplish the work of God. Friends, I'm trying to tell somebody here today, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. You don't have to use perfect words. It takes a desperate heart. And when you pray, God shows up. Moses, when you pray, God shows up. God shows up for you, Laura. When you pray, he shows up. So step number two, come to Jesus as you are and ask. You don't need to clean up your mess. Just come, Lord. Only you can do this. Third step, simply humble yourself before him. You with me, church? Simply humble yourself before the Lord. When the leper saw Jesus, the Bible says he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. My friends, this is the position we are to approach God. Right here on our knees. Lord, in full submission, in full surrender to the will of God. Lord, touch me. See, God loves to lift up the humble. He loves lifting up the humble. And when you remove self and move out of the way, Jesus steps in and he begins to fight your battle. Right here in full surrender, Jesus now faces those untouched, unwanted touches in your life, and then he begins to transform. He begins to work. As you are in full submission, seeking a touch from God, a touch that has the power to change your narrative, while you're on your knees in full surrender, then ask with expectation to receive his touch. You with me, church? In other words, be ready, because something amazing is about to happen. Prayer with expectation to be touched by Jesus, you receive by simply asking in faith. Verse 13 says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Don't miss his part. And he says, I am willing. Be clean. And the text says, immediately, the leprosy, dear what, friends, left him. Let me read that one more time, because we are to rejoice. You're missing your cue. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately, the leprosy, dear what, left him. Oh, my goodness, friends. I love Jesus' response to this man. I am willing. I know others don't want anything to do with you, but I am willing. I know that you are unclean and no one wants to touch you, but I am willing. I know that your life is a mess, but it does not faze me because I am willing. I know that the doctors told you that there's no any other way, but I am the way. I know that the immigration agency said your papers will not come through, but Jesus says, I will make a way because I am willing. I know that what you did last night, I know the mess you got yourself into, but I am still willing to touch you. Amen, church? Be clean. See, God is not fazed by your mess. There's no sickness that God will not touch. That's the difference between Jesus and us. If I touched the leper, I would have become unclean. But the leprosy would not touch Jesus and make him unclean because Jesus is God. Amen, church. At this moment, you could probably hear the gasp through the crowd. They couldn't believe it. He would touch someone like that. They would have been shocked that he would touch a leper and even more that he would touch someone like me. Someone like you, why would he associate himself with someone like that? A sinner? Someone who lies, gossip, cheats. But here's the good news. That's too bad for the devil. It's too bad for the devil because what people think of you does not determine whether or not Jesus will touch you. What other people think of you will not determine whether or not Jesus is willing to touch you. Amen, church. So it don't matter what people say about me. It don't matter what the enemy is plotting against me. It doesn't matter at all because he is willing and he wants to touch you today. That's what truly matters. According to my Bible, Jesus has never turned away anyone that recognized their need for him. God has compassion on them. And when Jesus touches your life, everything changes. The leper's life was never the same again. Why? Because the touch of Jesus activates forgiveness. To those who repent and believe in him, the touch of Jesus brings cleanliness and the power to those who surrender everything to him. The touch of Jesus renews everything about us. With his touch, we receive a new hope. We receive everlasting life. We receive new desire, new direction. But watch this. Jesus does not just touch us, but he transforms us. The Bible says he touched the blind and they received sight. He touched the lame and they were able to walk. He touched the dead and they were able to come back to life. He touched the brokenhearted and they were restored. Someone may ask, Pastor, why is his touch so powerful? My friends, he's the creator. He understands the human heart better than any cardiology doctor or anybody who's trained to specialize in the heart. He understands the human mind better than psychologists. He understands human behavior better than a sociologist. He is the great physician, the Bible says. He is the great redeemer, and he's the only key to unlock God's revelation and lead you to salvation. That's why we need his touch. We need his touch because no one else could do what Jesus can do. Only he. Oh, the word is sweet, friends. I love the word of God. Watch this. After the man who was once a leper received the touch of Jesus, he was no longer the same. He was clean. He was restored. He was made whole. The Bible says, then Jesus ordered him. In other words, he commanded him, don't tell anyone. But go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet, it says, the news about him spread all the more. Why? Because this man could not keep his mouth shut. The touch of Jesus was so sweet that he could not hide it. Are you with me, church? The news about him traveled everywhere, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed by their sickness. Oh, dear friends, I have a question that comes to my mind. Is our pews empty because we haven't been touched by Jesus, or because we've been touched but we're too silent? It says crowds were drawn to Jesus because this man could not keep his mouth shut because the word, what Jesus done for him, was too sweet and too good that I imagine him walking around singing about it. But this is how you and me are to respond to the touch of God. See, the touch of God, when you're truly touched by God, when you're truly seen by him, you don't just go through the emotion and walk away and forget. You don't just have an emotional experience. Instead, the touch of Jesus leads to living a life that obeys the word of God. Amen, church? The touch of Jesus transforms you, and you walk differently and talk differently and you think differently and you love the word of God. That no longer a leper, because of Jesus, Jesus tells him to go show himself to the priest and make an offering according to the law of Moses, which was a ritual for declaring a leper clean according to the law of Moses. Even though it was evident that he was clean, this man doesn't immediately go to his family. He doesn't go to his friends. He doesn't go to a restaurant and say, I'm free. But instead, he chooses to obey the words of Jesus. So when Jesus transforms our life, we must respond by obeying his word. Lastly, if our heart has been truly touched by Jesus and transformed, we respond by going out to tell other people what he has done for us. We go and tell the testimony. Once the man was touched by Jesus, once he was touched by Jesus, the Bible says in verse 14, Jesus sent this no longer leper. He says, go show yourself to the priest. Now imagine this man with great haste, he goes and he gets to the priest's house or whatever, the temple, and he knocks. He knocks and the priest opens the door. The poor man opens his mouth. Sir, I was a leper and I'm clean. And the priest looks at him and says, how? Because a man by the name of Jesus Nazareth touched me. What did he do? Our law forbids touching a leper and speaking to them. What can I say? The man responds, Jesus touched me. His touch has transformed my life. I'm no longer the same. I have been cleansed. Look and see, touch. He did what? I imagine the leper singing, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. All the joys of my soul are floods. Something happened. Now know that he touched me and made me whole. I picture him singing. Oh, yes, my friends, when Jesus touches you, your life is completely transformed, and you cannot help it but sing about it and tell somebody what he's done for you. Amen? Oh, there are many things that will touch you in this world. Many things. But God's touch will transform your life. Now, I'm here to tell somebody today that Jesus' touch is still available. In the year 1992, I was born in 1991, for those who wonder how old I am. The year 1992, my mother almost lost me. As a baby, I went for days not eating. She didn't know what to do with me. I would throw up. And of course, my mother was quite desperate with me. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know what was wrong with me. The doctors couldn't figure out. My father was a missionary, and oftentimes he would invite people to stay in our home who were traveling. There was one woman who stayed with us, and she saw my mother struggling with me, and she asked my mother about my symptoms. Then after listening to my symptoms, she told my mother that your son has been bewitched. So your son has been bewitched. And she told my mother, if you want him to get well, you must sacrifice a spotless goat, take the blood of this goat, and perform these rituals, and your son will be okay. Upon hearing these words, my father refused to do that. He said, we named our son Harushimana. Harushimana meaning God is above all. God is powerful. There's no way we are going to practice these rituals, but we will pray because God is able. And so my mother and my father began to fast and pray. They simply and earnestly prayed and pleaded for God to touch me. They kept praying, and God began to turn things around. And they kept praying. And then the neighbor who had tried to end my life, things are going wrong for them. And so they came over and asked my parents for forgiveness. My parents forgave them as the word of God says so. Amen, church. Events that was meant to cause evil in my parents' life and to my life, God was able to reverse it. And I'm here to tell somebody today as a living testimony that God is able to touch your life and transform you. He is able to do it for me. For those who knew me back in Saskatchewan will tell you this is not the Etienne we know, because he touched my life. The same Jesus who touched the leper is here to touch somebody today. I don't know who I'm talking to. You may be needing this touch. A touch in your heart for healing. A touch in your mind. Perhaps a touch in your broken family. Perhaps a touch for your spouse. Maybe you're carrying something heavy and you've been struggling in silence. Maybe you are broken. You feel unclean. Hear me today, dear friends. He is still willing. Jesus wants to touch your life today. And today, if you recognize that you need this touch, I'm going to invite you. I'll ask Joel to come and sing a closing song, but I'm going to invite you to take the step forward and come before the throne of grace during the second verse. Then I'll have a prayer for you. I'll ask Jesus to touch you during the second verse. But I'm here to tell you, don't wait. Don't overthink it. Come with a simple prayer. Lord, I learned today that you are willing. Touch me. touch my spouse, touch my child, touch my neighbor. Make me clean, make them clean. You don't need to come forward for yourself, but you can come. Only God knows the reason why you're coming. And allow God to move. So during the second verse, just come as you are. We'll invite you to stand.
Friends, the touch of Jesus is available in his reaching out. If there is anybody still in the house, perhaps they want to come forward and don't feel that courage. I want to give you the opportunity to come right now as you are. As you are, because Jesus is reaching out. He wants to give you the victory. He wants to give you the healing. He wants to give you the salvation. Only he can impart. Loving Father, you know the hearts of those who have come forward today. You know the prayers they've been lifting up to you in private. You know where they have been, and you know what they have done. And we thank you, dear God, that you do not reach with a hand of vengeance, but you reach with a hand of healing, a hand of forgiveness. A hand, Lord, that says, I am willing. And so, Father, touch each one. Grant each one that which they are seeking of you right now. And transform their life, dear God. Allow them to walk in your victory, to walk in newness. And I pray for those who are listening to my voice online or perhaps on the radio, dear God, if they are making the decision right now and saying, Lord, I want this touch. Touch them. Touch them, dear Jesus. And then, And then, Lord, give them the boldness and the courage to go out. To go out and sing about and tell somebody that there is a God that is able to transform your life. So multitudes, more people may come and receive the freedom that you want to give to us. Father, I pray not only for them, but also pray that you will touch this entire church, the mission of this church. Lord, that you will enlarge our territory, that we will touch more people, that St. John's and all Newfoundland Labrador will be ready to receive you that day come take us home. It is my prayer, and I thank you that you are faithful, that you answer. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.